Ricciardo. This is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
That was brilliant, mate. I think we can see a smile from here. Nice job.
Thanks, guys.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it. Style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes. Yes.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. Race 2 of the 2014 campaign takes us 6,365 kilometres northwest from Melbourne to Malaysia. On the southern tip of the country in the state of Selangor, Sepang is the venue for this weekend's Formula 1 action at the Sepang International Circuit. Malaysia offers a very different climate to Melbourne. It's exceptionally humid here, and as we saw over the course of the weekend, the heavens can open at a moment's notice, meaning we get some very interesting driving conditions indeed. Coming up on the podcast, we're going to speak to both our drivers about their race weekend. We hear from Christian Horner. Plus, we have news on how you could win a signed cap from the drivers and a starring role on the podcast. First, racing can take an incredible toll on a driver, especially in the heat and humidity we have here in Malaysia. Rich went to speak with our team physio, John Hammond, to find out more.
Right, so I'm joined by John after the race. John, can you give the fans a brief overview of your role and what your average day is like with the team?
Yeah, I'm the team physiotherapist, and my job role is to look after the guys. I'm managing the wellness and well-being of the whole team. That includes some of the driver's activities. A typical day for me is to arrive at the circuit, check in with all the guys, make sure they're well in a place like Malaysia, looking after their wellness in terms of making sure they're hydrated. And then as the day goes forward, if we have ongoing injuries, I'm managing ongoing injuries and generally looking out for them.
You just mentioned briefly there that the heat in Malaysia and the humidity is one of the most challenging things for, I guess, all Formula One teams and in the race calendar over the whole season. Can you explain to the fans what it must be like for the guys in the garage wearing those fireproof suits?
I mean, a number of races, but particularly Malaysia, the risk of heat exhaustion is extremely high. The guys, from the beginning of the week, they're working in shorts and t-shirts, but still temperatures in the garage are exceeding 40 degrees. It's like working in a sauna. So basically, we have various strategies to try and manage their wellness, because what we don't want is the core body temperatures to start exceeding 40 degrees or even upwards from there, where the body system can start to break down and you can fail with heat exhaustion. So we have a number of things. We look at environmental factors, you know, such as air conditioning, cooling towels, but also nutrition, looking at making sure they're taking fluids in and ways in which we can cool their body temperatures.
We know that the drivers have special training programs, and do the guys in the garage, especially like the pit stop crews and those type of guys, have special programs that you'll work with them on, or the team will work with them on?
The overall wellness and management program we have for the team is in place. We have a number of programs that are going on away from the grid, and we have certain things that are in place when we're at races, so they're certainly looked after from multiple directions in terms of their wellness, and it's in view of looking at their performance, so enhancement performance and injury prevention, and the two go hand in hand.
When we're at the track, obviously there's not like a multi-function gym at the hotel. There is there anything that the team can get up to at the track?
Absolutely, a number of things, and for example, just the other night, a handful of guys ran the track in Malaysia here the other night in aid of promoting the Wings for Life World Run, which I believe is happening on the 4th of May. And throughout the season, running the track is very, very popular.
Away from the track, what's been your best experience in Malaysia?
The people have been fantastic here. Everyone's friendly at the circuit. There's been a great turnout for the Formula One race. And I think one standout thing for me, the food has been phenomenal.
Well, thank you for taking the time to chat to us. I'm sure you've got a very busy schedule after today's race, so we'll let you get back to it.
Thank you very much indeed.
We've got a great competition exclusively for you now. Your chance to win a team cap signed by Sebastian Vettel and Daniel Ricciardo, and a starring role in the next podcast. All you have to do is submit a little message to the team. We'll pick our favourite and it will get played out next week. Maybe you want to say hi to one of the drivers, sing a song for the team, or admit your undying love for Christian Horner. Whatever it is, record your message on your smartphone, your computer, or a dictaphone maybe, and email it to social@rebelracing.com. That's social@rebelracing.com. We'll play the winning message on next week's podcast. On to the race now, and it was a great one for Sebastian. He took the third step on the podium behind the Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg. Here is Sebastian after the race.
Hello everyone, this is Sebastian. Obviously a very good result for us. Hopefully
hopefully the second time we get some points. We still wait on Daniel's call for Australia, but yeah, nice to be on the podium, and still a lot of homework to do, but surely it's a good motivation for the whole team, and looking forward to next week in Bahrain. Thank you.
It was a great start to the race for Daniel Ricciardo. He was running fourth as he came in for his third pit stop on lap 40 with 16 laps to go, but he left the pits before his left front wheel had been properly secured and had to stop in the pit lane and be pulled back by the team for the wheel to be properly attached. The delay cost him an entire lap to Alonso, who had been close behind when Ricciardo pitted. Three laps later, he suffered a further blow when his front wings failed and he had to tour around almost an entire lap before pitting for it to be replaced. He retired with only five laps to go. Katie spoke to Daniel straight after the race.
Okay, so Dan, massive bad luck with what happened today, but obviously before that it was a very impressive drive and a great start. What's your general feeling about the race?
I think obviously with the final result aside, the race was going pretty well. The start was good. It's nice sort of moving forwards on the opening lap, so that was good. I was ready to go, and couldn't quite hold the pace of the Mercs, and Seb got around me initially, but I think from then I settled into a decent pace in fourth, and we looked pretty solid, just trying to chip away and work at the car balance throughout the next few stints. So it was looking pretty stable. And then obviously the incident happened in the pit stop, and then we got hit with a few other penalties, so that's disappointing, but definitely take some positives, you know, away from the race, how it was going.
And it's an immense physical effort for you guys to drive the car in the heat during the race. Can you try and describe to people, to the listeners, what it actually feels like to someone at home?
It's the best example I could give someone is do some training in a sauna. So put a bike or a treadmill in a sauna and just basically do some physical training in that heat, because essentially that's what we're doing. It's sauna temperatures out there, and we're training. So it's challenging, but you know, the more time you spend in Formula One and the more your body adapts to it, the easier it becomes.
Okay, and then what's next for you ahead of the next event in Bahrain?
Heading out to Bahrain. It's nice only having a short break, especially after some disappointment. Basically chill out for a couple of days, rest, do a bit of training, but focus on what we can do to get better in Bahrain.
And then finally, do you have a message for the listeners?
Don't cry for me too much. I'll be back.
News of something very special now. On Saturday evening, the whole team ran a lap of the track here in Sepang in support of Wings for Life. We're all in training for the Wings for Life World Run. It's the first running race in which the entire world can race together simultaneously on the 4th of May 2014 at 10 a.m. UTC. Thousands of competitors will start to run up to 40 racetracks worldwide. On this day, the world will run as one. 100% of the proceeds from the event will go to Wings for Life Foundation, which funds research into curing spinal cord injuries. To sign up yourself, check out the Wings for Life website and social channels. Now, once again, the paddock attracted some big names for the Malaysian Grand Prix, including that of Red Bull Pro windsurfer Robbie Naish. Rich went to speak with him after the race.
Robbie, always good to catch up with you at Formula One Grand Prix and to have a fellow member of the Red Bull family with us. So what brings you to Malaysia this time around?
Well, I was lucky enough to be here basically at the same time as the Grand Prix. You know, I'm on the Laureus World Sports Academy, and we had the Laureus World Sports Awards on Wednesday here in Kuala Lumpur. And so the timing was just perfect to go from the awards and spend the rest of the week here for the Grand Prix. It's been really interesting from a technical standpoint, being a full-on Formula One fan from the ground up, you know, following all the technical guidelines and all these new rule changes.
And just talking about the new regulations, I mean, I know that you do some manufacturing and designing when it comes to windsurfing. How does that compare to what happens in the world of Formula One? Are there similarities or are there worlds apart?
Well, there's similarities when you're having to, you know, come up with something and get it produced. Composites, we do everything CAD now, CAD design, and almost everything is composite other than our kites and whatnot, but everything's computer designed. This takes it to a whole new level, and it's really interesting to come here and look at, for example, the new rules package, where there's so much change happening all at once, and looking at the cars and how they're having to fit all of those new guidelines into a package that's as tiny as possible is mind-boggling. Like, I was just over in the pits while they had the engine, you know, taking off the radiators, and you're looking at the packaging there and trying to imagine the various entities that are putting their components together into this, you know, into this thing that's supposed to run and be fast, and it's fitting into such a tiny space. It's mind-boggling. And then to have it perform when it's wet, you know, there's so much electronics now and so many things that are relying on each other as a cohesive package to work. You know, watching them in the wet, I bet half the teams were wondering if their cars were going to even make it through that qualifying session without having to, you know, just fry themselves on the side of the road. And fortunately, everybody seems to have pulled it off.
Just breaking away from Formula One for a bit and talking about the awards on Wednesday night, it was great to see Seb pick up World Sportsman of the Year, and also Marc Marquez with the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Just what type of achievement is that, if you can explain to the fans, because it's quite a big award.
It is. You know, it was put pretty eloquently into perspective, I think better than ever before at this year's awards, and I can't remember who was giving the presentation where they explained it this way. You know, winning a gold medal, for example, in the Olympics in your sport is an amazing achievement. Winning a world title in your sport is an amazing achievement. Winning a Laureus, you have to imagine that it's not only being the best in your sport, but then you're being compared to dozens and dozens of other world champions in their sports, yeah. Other gold medalists in their sports. The chance of winning a Laureus is like one in a billion, as opposed to whatever it is in your given sport. And I think that pretty well puts it into perspective. So for Seb to have won, you know, Male Athlete of the Year, he's up there against Usain Bolt and, you know, the best surfers in the world. And, you know, on and on and on and on and on. So it's really quite an achievement.
Besides Formula One, you're in Malaysia. Are there, what are the best things about this country or some of the coolest experiences you've had while you've been out here?
I think it's just a neat culture. You know, I've been around the world. I've been to, you know, pretty much everywhere. And it's a unique spot. It's very cosmopolitan, which is good to see. You know, you go into the city and it's a little bit like, say, Shanghai, where there's incredible buildings everywhere. Not to that level, but, you know, it's an amazing place in terms of architecture. Food is incredible. Yeah. And you just feel very relaxed. So, very cosmopolitan. People from everywhere. Everybody seems pretty friendly. It is damn hot. That's the only thing that I can't really handle. You know, I'm from Hawaii and I should be used to it, but this is too hot for me. The humidity is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's a totally different degree of hot. But well, thanks for taking the time out to catch up with us, and hopefully we catch you at another Formula One race this year and see you there.
Yeah, I'm targeting maybe getting to the Austrian Grand Prix.
Yeah, the home of Red Bull, and the first time that it'll be there in quite a while, so it should be quite an exciting event. Well, we hope to catch up with you then.
Yeah, it's a great track as well. I fortunately got to go drive it in August for a whole day at a Formula Renault. It's an amazing track. Really good, high speed, flowing corners, and it's going to be a good race.
Great. Well, thank you very much. See you then.
All right.
So once again, a weekend with mixed feelings here in Malaysia. Our final chat is reserved for Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
One of the main things in Malaysia is the heat. Does it affect you at all when you're working here?
Well, it's like you've just got out the shower constantly, so you're always wringing wet. And it's, for the guys in the garage, it's really tough. And, you know, all the engineers, everybody working in tricky conditions. But, you know, the great thing is we managed to get a car to the end of the race. At one of the most challenging races of the year, and had it been for a bit of better luck with Dan, we'd have got him there too.
Are you surprised by the result today?
Yes. I mean, coming into this race, if you'd have offered us a podium, I think we'd have bitten your arm off. So to effectively been ahead of all the rest of the field apart from Mercedes is a great result, and at least we know the challenge that lies ahead.
And what happened with Daniel in the race?
He had an issue with the front wheel at the pit stop that it wasn't secured properly. The car was released. The wheel, he could feel immediately wasn't right. We stopped the car immediately, but unfortunately, as a result, he's picked up a penalty that also carries through, unfortunately, through the regulations into the next race.
And are you impressed by his driving in the last two races, or is it as you expected and that's why you took him on?
I think he's been mega the last couple of races. He's exceeded all our expectations. His first lap today was, you know, absolutely ballistic, and he's been a positive member of the team, and it's great to have him on board. And I think the exciting thing is he's only going to get better, and the relationship between him and Seb is fantastic. You know, they enjoyed racing each other today. It was good to see.
And how was Seb this weekend?
fine, you know, focused on it, and he got the most out of everything that he could. He's always excelled at this track, and it's always been a good track for us, so it's great to be on the podium.
And then just finally, is there anything the team will be changing on the car between now and the next race?
Probably little updates, you know, little bits and pieces here and there, nothing major, because there's only 5 days till the next event starts, so not too much time to do too many updates.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. For all the latest on the team, make sure you check out the website. As usual, thanks to Red Bull Records for some of the music you've heard on the podcast. We've already had Peaches by New Beat Fund, but now we'll leave you with the awesome Sail by AWOL Nation, the Feed Me remix. Not much time to reflect on the weekend's events. We're hopping on a flight to Bahrain for the next race in less than a week's time. Until then, take care.
Yeah.